Blessings of Light. How are you all doing tonight? I'm glad to be here with you. I want to tell you about the full moon. It's on the 16th, Sunday. I hope I see you there at the full moon. And remember, later in the month is Thanksgiving Day. Be especially thankful to God. Pick those positive things. You know, we can always find the ones that are not bringing us happiness and joy. Let's find the ones that do and thank God for our blessings. Let's count our blessings this Thanksgiving Day. May God's great Holy Spirit guide you. May you live and move and have your being in the light. Blessings of light, we love you. Blessings of light, and welcome today to class 3-3, Astrophysics, third month, third lesson. I know you're getting results by now with your meditations and with your conscious expansion. Today we're going to take you into a deeper level of consciousness, a deeper understanding of your witness states of consciousness. But let me reiterate again, make sure you keep up your exercises, your spiritual disciplines, your breath exercises, your meditation exercises, your visualization exercises. It's important that you keep the rhythm up, keep a steady rhythm, and that you manifest a harmonious rhythm, meditating at the same time, doing your exercises at the same time. Today, as we talk about the witness states of consciousness, we're also going to talk about what keeps you from having those witness states of consciousness, bound energy. In the East, they call this karma. We call it bound energy or stuck energy, energy that gets stuck. Whether it's good or bad, it's stuck. We want to free this energy, and we'll talk about the various levels of freeing this energy, from the personal to the family to the race to the social to your environment to your state to your country to your human to your world to your solar to your cosmic to your individual to your God-bound power. And what we're doing is we're penetrating and bringing the higher and lower triads together here now. The higher consciousness and lower consciousness is coming together. We're bringing these together. Penetration of the higher mind into the lower mind, the lower mind into the higher mind, and an increase of the soul, opening the window of the soul. And we want to reiterate to you on this time, your pranic bridge, orange, rose, green, yellow, light blue, dark blue, violet, gold, and white. And then the path to enlightenment we're using: attention, concentration, observation, meditation, contemplation, superconscious, cosmic conscious, master conscious, Christ conscious, spirit conscious, father, mother, God conscious, God conscious states. This is our path to enlightenment. You continue to concentrate on that path to enlightenment each step of the way. First attention, then concentration, then observation, then meditation. You should be through a couple of cycles of this by now, going through each one of these stages and practicing. Even practicing that God-conscious state. It's important to be in the power of the presence. Now, before we can ever reach these beautiful witness states of consciousness, we must be able to free the stuck attention, the bound energy that's in us, that has stopped us from realizing our ultimate realities, those things in us that put a ring around us, a binding around us, that limit us from realizing and expanding to the allness, the wholeness, the oneness of God. Our main objective in the meditation is to merge with God. But your witness states must be clear and fully awakened and precise to have power. Now, as we move to the first step of bound energy, the first energy that you have bound in you is your personal energies, your personal karmas, so to speak. These began when you are a child. When you're very small, you began to do things. And whatever you're doing, good or bad or indifferent, you are getting energy of your life. You're spending your life. See, that's what the energy is we're talking about, this stuck energy or bound energy. It's life energies that are stuck. When you start doing things, you start taking on experiences, and this is your karma, this is your light energy. And you can get bound up in, if you've ever made a mistake or something like that, you might think that you're going to make a mistake again. And so you get bound up in mistakes. Well, we're seeking to bind you up in success and in the oneness with God. I am a success. And we don't want you to be bound in failure. So you must take a look at yourself and look and see what your strengths and what your weaknesses are. And you must be the witness to these two things and not bound up in them. So you have to be a witness to your personality. The first witness is objectivity. Now, objectivity takes you through your first levels of consciousness. You are to watch your physical, watch your emotional, watch your mental realm, and watch them as they are within association with other things, not just on yourself, but as they're associated with your family, your society, so on and so forth, all the places that you are attached here in this lower field, this lower triad, physical, emotional, mental levels. All of that energy is heavy gravitation. It holds you down, whether it's positive or negative. I mean, living old glory is as bad as dwelling on negatives of the past, because you limit yourself by what you dwell on. The power of limitation is a great power for manifestation, but you shouldn't limit yourself. You're an unlimited being. You're infinite, eternal, everlasting, you know. You need to keep looking at that infinite power and light within you, and keep your eye on the whole picture and not get lost somewhere in the little pictures. The second karma you have to overcome is the family karma. You have to overcome mom and dad. You know, if you don't like mom or you don't like dad, whatever is in you that is mom and dad, you won't like either. You'll have it against yourself. If you didn't like something about your sister or your brother, and you do that same thing, and you've got hatred against your own self. You've got separation against your own self. It's an illusion. You can't divide yourself up. You can't cut yourself up. See, the self is whole, total, and all, and it's indivisible. It's an individual. See? But see, you can take upon yourself the associations with your family, immediate family, and extended family, and they can create in you certain bonded energies, bound energies. They might say, well, we've always been Democrats, so it'd be good if you're a Democrat. And we're all Republicans, so it'd be good for you to be a Republican. Or we're all social or labor or whatever the case may be. We're all that, so you should be all that. We've gone to this kind of religion, so you should do that. We've gone to this kind of training, so you should do that. We want this for you. We want that for you. And you're trying to please mom and dad. And you may still have left home, got married, have children, and you're still trying to please mom and dad back there in your subconscious mind, in your knowledge, in the depths of your consciousness. You may be trying to satisfy to gain a union again with your family, to come back to your family consciousness, come back to the family structure. And see, the whole thing here is we want acceptance, right? And so wherever the bound energy is, that limits our acceptance to accept for the bound energy. And so whatever you are accepting, you're holding on to. And so you may be accepted a lot of things about your family, and so you're going to be bound up in your family. Another area that affects you is your race consciousness, where you are bound up in your race. Now, some of them say we have to act this way or that way, or this race never does this, or they do that, or they don't do, or, you know, it's back and forth there. And they say this kind of race does this, you know, and another kind of race does something else, and another race does something else. Now, we're all humans. We're all humans. We may occupy different racial bodies, but we are all the same human being within. There is only one body of humanity, and we're all coming out of that body. And so it doesn't matter what race you are, you can achieve the very highest. It's fantastic what you can do when you put your mind to it, when you let God guide you and God provide for you. Because when God guides, God provides. When you guide, you got to go out there and work for it. So you're seeking to break this race consciousness, this family consciousness, this personal consciousness. These are the three levels, plus this social level. Now, see, the society or the social atmosphere you were raised in, you have certain attention. And you might think, well, I have to act this way or I have to act that way. I remember we had to have our hands under, one hand under the table. We weren't allowed to have the napkin shown, so we had it on our lap. and we were not allowed to put our elbows on the table, you see. We had to eat with a fork, and we ate our salads, and we ate our dinner with a knife and a fork instead of breaking it up with a spoon, you see. And we were taught all these kind of little things to be social, how to act this way or how to act that way. And then we get fixed in those things and think that's the way it is all the time, you see. But if you travel around in the world, you're going to find that people, different places, have different customs, different socialities. And if you're bound by one society, you'll not be able to function in other societies. You see, you'll try to take and make their society your society and make it the way you think and feel and act and do instead of letting people be themselves. So don't put things on other people either, because in the social area, people are always putting things on each other. Now, in the environmental consciousness, these first four here were to break you away from the personality by analyzing them, looking at them, and being free of them. And then in the environmental consciousness is to free your soul, whatever's around you. Now, in the environmental consciousness, you have bound up attention in your town or city or province or township or whatever that place you're staying, little borough, you know, there's lots of names for those, little village, you know, wherever you were growing up in, that had a synergic field of energy, a universal, unified field of consciousness for a particular vibration for your place and your city, so to speak. I'm just going to say city here. If you live in a town or a village or something, you relate to that. You have city karma or town or country karma. I mean, you might have, you know, might have that old country karma where you talk real slow and stuff like that, and you know, you don't want to be jiggled around by that fast movement in the cities. See, and you might, and the other guy maybe was on, I don't want to be bound up in the city, I don't want to be bound up, I don't want to go out there in the country, I'd be scared to death I go out there in the country, you see. So some people get caught in, I have to talk a certain way, a certain speed, a certain dialect, certain inflections on that character. So language of your city, a bit, if you were, you know, in Brooklyn, down on Toy Street, sitting on the curb, listening to the voice shape, waiting for your girl down by the brewery, you know, you got a different kind of attitude there, I tell you already. So, you know, you will have different kinds of things put on you. Street talk, you know, some kind of talk from that particular area, town talk, what we think is normal for that for us, but if we go someplace else, they say, oh, you've got an accent. Say, oh, I don't got an accent, it must be you. You know, this is the way I always talk. See, so you also have your school. There's many different schools that you went to. You also have your schools that have influenced you. Your elementary school, your junior high school, your college, your university levels. All of these are fields of energy, and each one of these schools have a different field of energy, and you're being caught in that. See, you might say, oh, I'm a Princeton man, you see, and I definitely feel superior to the Yale people over there, you see. So you may have this attitude because you went to this preppy school or something like that, and let that bind you, you see. Some try to use that to get ahead, but see, whatever you get stuck with is limitation, it's the past. So you, if you do get energy, you want new energy, renewed energy constantly, a flow of life all around your home, every time you change your home, and home atmosphere change, that also affected your environment. Or anything that's in your surroundings, whether it's surrounding your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, your psyche, creative, individual, universal body, anything that's around you is going to affect you. You're going to participate in it in some level. You're going to participate in agreement or disagreement by certain degrees. You may not agree with the whole thing, or you may not believe the whole thing at all, or parts of it, or you may believe the whole thing or parts of it. So surroundings and all the things that went on in your surrounding, it's important that you clear this path, you clear this way, so the witness states of consciousness will open up to you. So these higher states of consciousness, where there is power, will come to serve you. Now, Now, the next level we have is state. We need to call this province, state, district. There's different names for this as well. In the United States here, we just talk about the states. And so you may have a different state, you know, that you have come from. And when you move to another state, you'll notice the principality is different. There's some things you can get away with. Some places you can't get away in other places with. The people are different. And every place you go, there's a little difference. And so you may have moved from your original state, and now you're in some foreign state, see, or altered state of consciousness. And what you want to do is get to your natural state of consciousness. So you have to be careful that you're not bound by your state consciousness. And then there's country consciousness. You get bound up in the country consciousness, the bound energies there, the karma of the country. Whatever your country is doing is affecting you as a member of the country. And so if they're loved in the world, you're loved. If they're not, your country is getting in trouble, then you'll get in trouble, you see, when you go outside of its borders. So you have country consciousness. Then you also have the human consciousness. This takes in all the races and all humanity. You have human consciousness, which you must work with and overcome as well. Because, see, you are a spiritual being. You are using the human form, but you are a spiritual being. You're not bound by this body. You're not bound by the limitations of human consciousness. So you're raising and raising and raising your consciousness here. Also, you are bound by world consciousness. The things of the world about you affect you, and how the world is, and what world you're working within. You know, as the world turns, you're going to be involved with that turning, those movements, those cycles, you see. And now, after you break free of the earth, and you're no longer world-bound or earth-bound soul, now you have your solar karma. See, we came through the solar system and came to this planet Earth, and so we have a certain bound energy there. We might be bound up liking Venus or loving Jupiter or Saturn or some planet we want to go to, and we limit ourselves to that. Well, that's a stuck energy, bound energy there at the solar level. You have cosmic, the whole cosmos, the whole expansion of this universe power here, this cosmic energy of creation. See, chaos means it's not in order, and it's lawless. But cosmic or cosmos means it's law and order. And so the law and order pervades everywhere, and you also have stuck energy in the law and order of things and the wisdoms. You think you have some knowledge or something like that about the universe. Well, you can be bound up in that consciousness, thinking that it was created a certain way, or some did this or did that. The moon is not made of cheese. I mean, we went to the moon and found that out. And we found out that the red planet is really red from the iron oxide in the atmosphere blowing around there. Now, you also have your individualized karma. Anything that is taking you away from the manifestation of your individual consciousness and pulling you away from this beautiful self that you are, that's eternal, created by God, perfect balanced being, perfection already attained there. All you have to do is realize the truth of your individuality. You may have things about your individuality where character, if you put on this beautiful individuality, and so you have to break through those. Now, the final bondage is what we want. See, all these other bondages we want to get free of, but we want the bondage. We want to be bound in God. We want to be bound to God. We want to be stuck on God. You see, God's got to be irresistible to us, because God is irresistible. I mean, love is irresistible, and God is love. And so through love, you're able to handle all of these other levels of stuck attention. Through wisdom and through truth in God, we learn how to live and move and have our being as personal individuals, with our family, with our race, with our society, throughout our environmental consciousness, our state, our country, our human and world and solar and cosmic and individual and God-conscious state. We attain this God-conscious state, having dominion over the rest. But if you're in one of these lower ones, you can't have God-conscious dominion. The dominion was given to you. If you're bound up in energy, because God can do anything. You may not always be able to do anything, but God can do anything. So you're using your path, attention, concentration, observation, meditation, contemplation, superconscious, cosmic conscious, master conscious, Christ conscious, spirit conscious, mother, father, God conscious state. You're using this path to free your karma. You're using the center of your bridge to free you from the lesser vibrations. Now, this stuff will fall away. At a certain point, things that you maybe feel you're negative in now, when you get more positive and you get higher in a different state of consciousness, those things will fall away. But if you hold on to them, you will fall away with them. You will backslide. You will go back from the expansion you were at to a lesser expansion of consciousness. So you are seeking to be karma-free. You know, anyone having bills is bound by past karma, and bills and those kind of things keep you bound up in past karma. You're not free in that state as long as you are paying for material things. You know, God gave you everything, and now all the fancy stuff you got to pay for that man made. See, the stuff that God made, you don't have to pay for. It's when man gets his hand in there. And it was like the story once. There was these two Irishmen, and this one Irishman, he had bad feet. And so his friend Pat, he says, Mike, you got these bad feet, so you better get yourself some ocean water and, soak your feet in ocean water, and then your feet will get better. He says, well, there's no ocean around here. He says, where is the ocean at? And he says, well, you're going to have to get your wagon, get some barrels, and go to the ocean. It's about 50, 60 miles away. He says, well, I've lived all my life. I've never been to the ocean. I better go there. So he puts the barrels in the wagon, and he hitches up the horse, and away he goes. He gets rides all day long, and in the night he camps. He finally comes to the ocean. He camps by the ocean there. And the next morning he wakes up and he sees a man down by the sea. And the man has his line. He's throwing it in. He says, "Oh, this must be the owner of the ocean. He must be the keeper of the sea or something. I better go ask him if I can have some of this water." And so he goes over to this man and he says, "Say, can I have some of this water?" And the man says, "Well, what are you going to do with it?" He says, "Well, I need it for my health. I'm going to soak my feet. How much is it? I'll pay you, whatever you want." He says, "Okay, it's $50. So he pays the guy the $50 and dips out the water, gets the barrels, and he goes back home. You see, now this man, he's got his hand in there. The water was free to the man, but see, this Irishman, he's got his hand in it. Well, old Mike, he runs out of the water, and he goes back to the sea about a month later, and he sees this man, and the tide has gone out. And he says, "Oh my goodness, I should have brought more barrels. I see there's a run on the ocean." Anyway. You can really get lost, see? And he looked around and he says, the keeper of the sea is gone. I wonder where he went. You see, there must have been a run on the ocean. He's out of business. He made so much money, he's gone. But anyway, we may come to the wrong end by erroneous thinking. That's the key here. If you think you are these things you are bound up in, that is erroneous thought. You are not those things. You've experienced those things. So you must start this movement that puts you back in the perspective of your individuality and oneness with the whole, and not a limitation. It's just part of the whole. See? And so that's what we're doing. The first witness state is objectivity. It's at the heart. You must have objectivity at the heart. Lifting up, you must be objective to your actions. You must be objective to your habits, your conditioned reactions and inherited tendencies. You have to be objective to your thoughts and your thinking. You can't think that you are your thoughts. That is a wrong, erroneous association. You are God expressing. Understand that. You're a spiritual being. So the first step is to pull yourself up out of the lower centers and come up into that heart center, come up into that higher center of consciousness there, to move to the first witness state at the heart, objectivity. Now the second witness state is at the brow. When you reach the brow, you reach a state of detachment. It's important that you know how to detach. Now, it's a little more difficult to attain than objectivity. You can watch, like watching a television as being objective, but if you get emotionally involved with it, then you're subjective to it. You see, anything that you get involved with and you're subjected to, meaning you're going to be bound by those rays, you're going to be bound by the energies that come from that. Anything you're bound to, anything you're touching, touches you. The third witness here, this third witness up here at the crown level is renunciation. So we have detachment, we have objectivity at the heart, we have detachment at the brow, we have this renunciation at the crown. We're seeking to renounce, and that means you're renouncing everything that is worldly, the body, everything that is worldly, you've got renunciation. See, objectivity just puts you witness to the personality. Detachment gives you witness to the personality and the higher consciousness, the higher mind, the supernatural powers, the creative powers of the individual, the psyche of the individual. So through detachment, you're able then to look at not only their individuality and their creativity and their knowledge, but you also see the personality in there. So objectivity just gives you a personal view of what is going on as you pull back. But detachment gives you a more universal view. And each one of these areas of witness becomes wider and wider, stronger and stronger, more subtler, more subtler. And so you're ever expanding in the freedom as you are freed from bondage. And so renunciation has to be given out. Now, a witness state that we're talking about here is when you are still and open. You're not sending or receiving. You're just aware and open. You're not sending out from you. You're not receiving yourself yet. You are just witnessing what is going on. You're not trying to observe what's going on. A witness state of this room would be, watch my eyes now, would be like this. That if I was going to be subjective, I would focus on something and I would start merging with that, you see. But the full view of witness is a still, open, clear state of being. A clear, open state, like a silent, floating state of consciousness, a hovering state of consciousness. It's aware of the other areas of its expression, but it's not bound up in those. So it's a witness state. And when you see it here, you'll see it everywhere. And when you begin to witness here in your own life, you'll witness other places, and you'll witness other people as well. And those levels of consciousness, that whole universal field. Now the fourth witness state is the center of the crown. That is the golden essence or illumination coming out of the center of the crown. When you have that, you have a liberation. It liberates you, breaks you from body contact. So you have to have renunciation to break the body contact. The liberation, you broke it. You are now realized spirit, and you're moving and living and having your being as a spiritual being, not as a material being, not as a mental being, but as a spiritual being now. Ascended and free. Ascended and free. Transcendental, if you want to call it that. Or higher consciousness or freedom of spirit. You're in this liberated state. And now the next state of witness is illumination. Now illumination comes from the Christos, Christ light, or white light consciousness. And so you are illumined in the white light. You're witnessing from white light. See, in liberation, you're witnessing from a golden light. In renunciation, from a universal power of the indigo or the violet of the universe. And in detachment, you're witnessing through a violet or indigo flame. And through objectivity, you're witnessing from a green ray. But now when you get up here in this illumination, you're witnessing from a white ray of light and consciousness, a pure white ray. And then you move up to the next witness. This is the witness from the Holy Spirit of God. This is freedom. In the Holy Spirit, you're free. The Holy Spirit is the bestower of the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the giver of life, is the breath of creation. God is your God, and you are one. You're in this, but not of it. So you're in the world, but not of it. You're in the body, but not of it. You're not of these things, but you're in these things. So you're witnessing them. So the greatest freedom is to be spiritually free in the Holy Spirit of God. That's the greatest freedom. And that's what freedom is to be free in God. Anything you do, you can do in front of God. Can you do anything now in front of God? I mean, can you be with your self alone in front of God? Can you be with your family your loved ones, your mate, can you do what you do in front of God? That's what it's all about, see? Now, whether you are realizing you're doing it in front of God or not, you are doing it in front of God. God sees everything. You're right up in his face with it, you see. So you should be as good as possible in the face of God and power, freeing your energies. Then you'll reach that state of beingness, that mystical union, that oneness with God. There's a moment where you are God conscious. Now, I'm not conscious of God. See, you're not conscious of God. That's separation. But you're God conscious now. You're God experiencing. You're God realized. And you're experiencing as Christ experienced from this pure state I am before the world was. A deep, deep state of consciousness, this seventh state of consciousness. And so you're raising up in vibrations. You're raising up over and over and over in your consciousness here. You're using your path to enlightenment. You're freeing yourself in every way from these karmas, from this bound attention, from the stuck energy, from your life tied up in all these areas of consciousness, so that you can have a free, smooth, objective, clear expression. You are to reach the one without a second stage. When you reach this one without a second, and you're doing everything for God, you don't create any personal karma anymore. You see? Now it's in God's hands. And I'm doing this for God. So you check with God in the things you want to do. See? You don't run to some man or some woman or some other place. You go to God. Go to God. That's what the spiritual beings do. That's what masters do. They never said, well, Christ had to go look it up in the book and see, you know, what he's going to do in this instant. Or Buddha's got to go get his book out and give you some instructions, or Krishna or Muhammad. Or that. No, they were getting it directly from God. They were going to God. He didn't say, okay, how do I get to God today? Let me see what the map is. No, he was there in the presence, so there was no place to go. It was only to be. Only to be. Only to be. To be or not to be? That's the question. Again, I would like to tell you, continue with your breath exercises. Continue with your gazing exercises. Get your meditation on a beautiful rhythm and be at an hour practice. Get that hour practice, at least an hour. Do your meditation and then do your exercises, that you have a practice period there. If you want to just meditate for 20 minutes and then do your exercises, do it that way. But get an hour spiritual practice in the day, at least an hour. If you want the tithing power, 2.4 hours. 2.4 hours gives mystic power. If you live all day for God and you're practicing all day for God, you will be enlightened. It's that separation that keeps you in the dark. Sharing is important, to keep up your sharing, to share with one another, to share what you've got during the week and what you get through your meditation at the end of each class. If you have any questions or you want to contact us, just write to headquarters and we're here to answer any questions that you may have. Anything you want to know, you just write us a letter and we'll return to you as soon as possible. Now, for this next week, we want you to gaze on the navel center. And as you gaze on the navel chakra, the navel center, you want to open your mind and open your mastery. Open your mind. Open your mastery as you're concentrating on your navel chakra. Concentrate there. Feel the energies moving in and out of it. You can even breathe in and out if you want to. Gaze on it if you want to look at it in a mirror, or if you look with the inner eye. But keep your gaze fixed upon your navel chakra so that you will take and expand the energies of consciousness there, and some of the subtler consciousnesses then will be free. We also want you now to practice specifically this week the balanced breath. That's that breath where you go. You know, the balanced breath. You want to keep your aura, your mind, your energies balanced. So this week, concentrate on the balanced breath. Gaze on the navel chakra. Now we're going to go into the ruby dot, the last of the dots, the four dots that you've been concentrating on. First, we go over the rainbow. Then we go over the solar rainbow. Then we see the circle. Then we see the yin and the yang. Then we see the all-seeing eye. Then we see the green, then the blue, and then the yellow, and now the red. You see the little speck, and then you go to infinity with the red. The least to the greatest, the least to the greatest. And hold your attention and your consciousness in your breath to keep yourself present when you're doing your exercises. Hold your consciousness in your breath presence. Just be presence in your breath. You know, one of the ancient terms for the breath is called Hung Saw. Hung Saw. It goes like this. That's the Taoist. The Hindus had a name for that. They call it Soam. Practicing Soam. See, practicing watching the in and out breath. Well, no matter what you call them, it's simply that breath of life. If you didn't have it, you wouldn't be in this dimension. You'd have to go someplace else. So you concentrate on that breath, bring it to the presence, bring yourself to the presence in the breath, then go up your rainbow bridge, your solar bridge, through the symbols, ending up in that ruby focus at the end of the meditation. Now let me reiterate just once more. You are seeking to free all bound energies this week. You're also seeking to practice these meditative witness states. They're trancing and meditative states of consciousness that you're witnessing from. You take the first one and practice with that until you can do it at will. Then you go to the next one. Then you go to the next one. Don't jump ahead. You won't have a strong foundation. You need each witness to pass it on. It's like a series of lenses that this light goes through. These witnesses, a clear light going through each one of them. And so you're seeing from the God self, and you're seeing through each one of these lights. So you start opening up by practicing the first objectivity, then you practice detachment, then you practice renunciation, then you practice liberation, then you practice illumination, then you practice freedom, and then you practice being. This is powerful. And remember, objectivity is at the heart, so when you're practicing objectivity, have your consciousness on your heart. When you practice detachment, have it on the brow. When you practice renunciation, have it on the crown. When you're practicing liberation, the center of the crown. Illumination just above in the Christ light. Freedom in the Spirit of God. And then practice that witness, I am God's eyes watching all things. May God's great and Holy Spirit guide you. May you all live and move and have your being in the light. God bless you for joining with me this week. Blessings of light.